We all need encouragement, and we'll find it today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson, all about the first response. We'll be diving into the book of Acts in just a moment with Dr. Wilton on today's message, but we want you to know we're here. We're connecting already online at theencouragingword.org and this phone number, 866-899-WORD. And lots of folks, I mean a record number, a couple thousand in the last 30 days, have said, hey, sign me up via text for the Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don. Here's how you do that. Just grab your phone. Text to the number 30500. That's where you would put the phone number in, 30500. Then just say daily. One word, daily. Just text the word daily to 30500. We'll send you a quick link, and you'll be signed up to receive Dr. Wilton's Encouraging Word emails every single day. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts and chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. Just think about this for a minute. These early believers had seen Jesus. They had heard him, watched him speak, teach, love, rebuke, train, relate to the world. And they believed. They were believers. They put their faith in him. Yes, this is he. This is Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And then Jesus was crucified. And he left them. He was gone. He went back up into heaven. With profound respect. Profound respect. These were human beings. Angel could have said all he wanted to say. And he did. Men of Galilee, Jesus is going to come back. They were still on earth in their human flesh. And boy, did they have a lot to think about. They had a deep fear of intimidation everywhere. Everybody was closing in on them. In their case, that intimidation was so real, they knew. They could be so belittled, so attacked, so maligned for what they believed about Jesus, that they would even be executed. In fact, little known to them, for many of them it actually happened. And that led to isolation. The picture we have between Jesus going back to heaven and the Spirit of God is a picture of this little huddle. Literally. That's what they did. It's this little huddle of believers. They were scared to death, folks. And they gathered. All of a sudden, they found themselves inviting everybody. Come on, you got to hear this. Your life will be changed. All of a sudden, they found themselves giving. All of a sudden, they found themselves confronting the politics of their day. Not with political parties and affiliations, but with absolute truth. All of a sudden, they began to measure their vote, not by people, but by God, by what he says, not what man says. All of a sudden, something happened. God got a hold of them. They became complete and courageous. This is what God put in their hearts. So what about this first response? Well, first of all, it necessitated them standing up. We looked at that last week. Bible says in verse 14, and there's a beautiful picture here because the picture is a picture here of Peter, who delivered the sermon on the southern steps, standing up. But the Bible very clearly says in verse 14 that standing with him were all those who had believed in Jesus. Are you in? This picture of spiritual unity is a wonderful picture. It's one voice. It's a diverse group. It's personalities and, you know, pet peeves. And I'll guarantee you, some of them loved chicken and some of them loved lamb. I wouldn't be surprised if there are a bunch of vegetarians amongst them. I doubt it as I study these guys. I don't know, they were all different. Up this way, down that way. But there's one thing. When it came to Jesus, they stood together.
That's the voice of Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on the Encouraging Word broadcast. He'll be back in just a moment. There's a great deal more to come in the first response message from Dr. Don, but he wants us to remind you we're here for you. We're connecting 24 hours a day on the phone line, 866-899-WORD. He was talking about this concept of standing together. You need to know we stand ready to pray with you, to stand together with you as well. That's 866-899-9673, or let's connect together online at theencouragingword.org. A great place to discover wonderful resources that'll help you grow in your life, like this resource, The Promises of Praying for Others.
Revolutionize your prayer life in 2019 with Pastor Don Wilton. In his powerful, uplifting, and faith-building message, The Promises of Praying for Others, you will come to understand the wonderful gift of prayer in your life and learn to delight in the privilege of approaching God's throne on behalf of others. The Promises of Praying for Others can be yours on CD or DVD to enjoy and share with family members and friends for your gift of any amount to The Encouraging Word this month. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304. Or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support. Your generosity will be a tremendous blessing to the Encouraging Word ministry as we continue full speed ahead in 2019, bringing hope and changing lives through God's encouraging word.
Now back to the first response, today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
I don't know, they were all different. Up this way, down that way. But there's one thing. When it came to Jesus, they stood together. They not only stood together inside the room, they stood together outside the room. And this whole testimony here is when they left the southern steps of the temple, they went out into the world and they took their stand. This is marketplace. They translated everywhere they went into a pulpit that witnessed for Christ, every gesture. And sometimes it can be so small. You do this all the time, even when you buy someone else a Coke. I was put to the test this last week because I went to go and get something at a shop, and I was standing in line waiting, and there was a gentleman in front of me, and all he had in his hand was a cup of coffee. That's all he had. And he was an elderly gentleman, and he got it out and he started fumbling around for change. And here I am with a few extra, a lot more than what he had. And you're going to all look at me and say, oh boy, aren't you wonderful? I'm just telling you, this is so silly, it's hardly worth mentioning. And I just said, sir, enjoy your coffee. I got that for you. He said, no, I can't pay. No, don't worry about a thing. I'll just add that to my tab there. Now, he couldn't get past the door to let me out afterwards. He couldn't get over the fact that how? A cup of coffee? Necessitated standing up, speaking up. Number two, it called for careful explanation. You know, this is replete, this wonderful presentation here. The Spirit of God had come down upon these people. And in verse 14, the Bible says very clearly, this needs to be made known. Here's the bottom line. Believers, when you speak, standing up in the marketplace, make it known. Explain it. Go speak to school teachers about that. They go absolutely crazy trying to explain things. That's what they do. They understand what it means to take a young mind, explain it. We moms and dads say, now, how many more times have I got to tell you this? Now, that has a different ending sometimes, but I'm going to just tell you. This first response called for careful explanation. It demanded very close attention. He says here in verse 14, give ear to my words. It carries with it the idea of, listen, pay attention, man. So every one of you, again, I'm using maybe a education overriding theme here, but we identify with this. So you can take a classroom and you can take a brilliant teacher who knows everything about the subject but is never able to command attention. Then you get another teacher who just the same, but there's just something. You sit up and take note. You've been around coaches like that? When it comes to something that you believe, the demanding of close attention is not a mandate. I cannot stand here today and demand your attention. But you're listening, aren't you? And I'm not messing around up here. You understand me? Not because of Don, but because, how do you explain this? This is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not unloving. It's not a... It's what God does. I am empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's a strange thing. Children have a far greater propensity to love and respect parents who demand their attention than those who say, listen, it's fine with me, go and play in the traffic. It's not about me or you saying that. And it carries a consequence because there will always be one or two who will say, every single classroom will have young people in it that defy the opportunity. And many of them pay a high consequence. You, my friend, at any time of your choosing, are free to go. You catch my drift? But I do invite you in the name of the Lord because this is life-changing. What Jesus has done for me, He'll do the same thing for you. Number four, it included both testaments. I've got to just say this. This first response included both testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, we're going to unpack this, I'm sure, as we go through this wonderful study together. But there's a big question going on in today's world. Is the Old Testament actually still relevant? So I'm just going to put this absolutely. Charles Haddon Spurgeon put it like this. He said, every time I open the book, I make a beeline for the cross. Dr. W.A. Criswell, the longtime pastor of First Baptist Dallas, one of the greatest Bible expositors, I loved what he said. He said, you know, there's a scarlet thread that just runs through the Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation. Everything in the Old Testament points toward Jesus. Everything in the New Testament points back to Jesus. Jesus is the centerpiece on the mantelpiece. Here he quotes the prophet Joel. He quotes David twice. What is he talking about? Verse 20, he's talking about the preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus. In verse 25, he's talking about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 35, he's talking about the sovereign reign of Jesus. By the way, this is Old Testament. Which brings me to the fifth point of the first response. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, focused on Jesus. I just love verse 22. I'm not so sure if verse 22 is not the one of the, you know, my personal favorite verses. Here's this man facing intimidation and isolation and incapacitation. The Spirit of God comes upon him and fills him, and he stands up and he says, "People, listen up. Jesus of Nazareth." Verse 32, this Jesus. It's at the name of Jesus. Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, the gift of God. Jesus who came and made himself known, was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin, identified with us in every way. This Jesus, whom we crucified through our sin, was laid in a grave, by the power of God was raised on the third day and is alive and ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father. This Jesus who's coming back. For God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. You know, it's right there in the center. This first response. You know, we make a statement like this. We don't have to make that statement. But believers need to focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Everything else falls into place. Everything comes from, points to Jesus. In the church, just focus on Jesus. Lay aside everything else. The only relevancy in the church is Jesus, and then everything else takes its rightful place. It's like a home, many ways. You know, sometimes, seemingly, the most difficult thing to do is for mom and dad to just perpetually just love each other. Yes, I'd love to talk to you about the new motor car that you buy your son when he turns 16. That's great. I did that. You know, about the holidays and about taking care of and nurturing, everything is wonderful. But I'm telling you, it finds its root in the way in which mommy and daddy love each other. If you want your children to grow up with something in them that you cannot buy, just love each other. Husbands, love your wives. Just love one another. And in so demonstrating the love that you have for Jesus, and everything else fits in place. But you go around barking at each other, pointing fingers, ripping one another to pieces, fighting, and worse, paddling your own canoe, having attitudes, demeaning, abusing one another, your children suffer. And you can buy them new boats and motor cars. You can be one of those people who actually believe that if they are able to get a scholarship to play ball at university, their life is made. You are wrong. You are so wrong. But I hope they do get a scholarship, because it is wonderful to play ball. What were they doing here, these believers? What were they sent out with? What happened here in their first response? They focused on Jesus. And that's it. You know, I know it sounds awfully kind of strange. That's jolly hard to do. You want me to tell you why it's hard to do as believers? Because there's a lot of good things going on. There are carpets and there are buildings and they're leaking roofs and they're... Do you know that in this congregation there's at least one opinion? And they're good, right? We value each and every person. If you just took me, I'm just one person. I have to say every day, Lord, please, let me be Jesus. Let my people see Jesus. Now, that is an enormous discipline for me because my whole propensity surrounds me. They focused on Jesus. Number six, they carried a deep conviction. This was their first response. You know, look at verse 29. Don't you love verse 29? I must say to you with confidence. Can you feel that? Do you know a person who not only has seen and heard but believes, but who knows that they believe and carries that believing confidence is a force to contend with. Do you know that? And it carries a price with those who would think you just nothing more than drunk. If you are a person who carries confidence in your belief, those who consider you to be idiotic will never include you in their circle. They don't want you there. So no, you're not going to get that invitation. I've yet to find out in the world, people, whatever it might be, oh man, let's get a real born-again Christian to be in the middle of this. Let's invite that young lady here to the party on Friday night. Oh man, she just loves the Lord. Let her come. Are you kidding me? Man, that young couple there that doing so well in business, but they love the Lord. And all of a sudden, you're going to find out that these other four couples went off for that weekend and somehow they just managed to not include you. Let me tell you why they did. They don't want you there. You got too much confidence about Jesus. And finally, not conclusively, they witnessed amazing results. You know, I've always loved this, that verse, verse 41. They were added that day about 3,000 souls. And my beloved friends, we're not facing death. We're not facing execution. But what are our children facing? Where's this going? What do we believe? How important is this? How do we know? Do we write the script? The script's already been written. There's nothing more to add. And in fact, if anyone does add, God says, be careful. Don't take away from the scriptures. Don't add anything. Don't get up there and decide that God doesn't matter, people. Don't start setting up your own list of criterion. And don't ever think that God has changed his mind. He loves you just the same. And his desire is for you and me to know him. That's why we can sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. And I invite you today to give your life to Jesus.
It could be you have been waiting for someone to ask you that question today. You've heard it before. You've heard it on other broadcasts, and you're going, if I get that challenge again, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. If you'd like to give your heart to Jesus, let us speak with you. Let us talk with you. Let us pray with you. Or maybe right now you don't need to talk to us. You need to talk to the Lord. Would you like to just repeat a simple prayer after me to give your heart to Jesus? Lord Jesus, I know I've messed up. We've all messed up. And I know that my sin has kept me away from you. It's created a barrier. And Lord, I want to be close to you. So I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I'm turning my back on that way. And I want to follow you, Jesus. And I believe you died on the cross of Calvary for my sin so that I could follow you clean with a brand new start. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've given your heart to God, let us talk about it. Let us talk about how Jesus can change your life from the inside out. We'd love to connect with you. I know some you'd rather go keyboard to keyboard. Let's do it online at theencouragingword.org. It's a long URL, but easy to remember, theencouragingword.org. That's our website. Or pick up the phone and call us. I know that many times in our lives we're used to just texting and typing, but this is the time. I believe you'll be blessed by having one of us speak with you, pray with you, talk with you, connect with great resources at the other end of 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. And before we get away, a final thought from Dr. Don Wilton.
You know, I want to say something to you personally. You ready for this? Thank you. It's a powerful word, isn't it? Small one, powerful. I want to thank you. You see, the sun hardly rises or sets in a day that we don't see people come to know Christ through this broadcast ministry every day. And you make that possible through your prayers, most of all, and through your financial giving. God is doing something great. And in our world today, this medium of television, very important, folks. This is very, very important. God is allowing us to go into more and more homes across the United States of America. Thank you for helping us make this possible. And let's never stop praying that people would come to know Jesus. God bless you.
Our time's gone for today, but for some of you, I know, as you heard Dr. Wilton say, let's never stop praying that people would come to know Jesus. There's someone that God brought to your mind. Even now, we would love to pray with you. Lord, I pray that you would show us how we can be instruments of your grace, of your love, to somebody in our life that we know is far from you. Help us to be lights in this dark world. Help us to make a difference because we are open and listening and watching for the people around us that need that special touch. Father, help us to reach out and ask the simple question like, is there something I can pray for you today so that we can influence this world for the cause of Christ? We love you, Jesus. In your precious name, we pray these things. Amen. Till next time, I pray you'll stay connected with us online at theencouragingword.org and join us again for more Bible-based preaching from Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word.